all that stuff, it comes down to Justin Verlander today, Joe, the Spencer Strider. Now, this isn't the same Spencer Strider when he was like a Cy Young kind of a guy. He's still pretty good. He's like 3.5 ERA. Still very good pitcher. Better than Justin Verlander, and he's at home. But how good would it feel for the mentals of this team if you could somehow, after the debacle two nights ago, win today, going into a series win after getting swept by the Blue Jays? It's got to, like, just for the mentals alone, you got to win today, right? It feels like it. It's not a must win, but it feels like a got to win.
You could say that for the rest of the season. You got to win every series here on out. But no, like, this one is a big one. There's no question about it. Getting back to last night's game, though, you play Matos instead of Yaz, which I was here for. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I think
I didn't mind seeing that. Yeah.
You know, I think Elliot Ramos bouncing back. I mean, his defense has been putrid. There were people that were calling for him to be benched that have been covering the team for a long time. So that's surprising to me.
Right.
That tells me that the issues with him defensively run deeper than the average fan wants to admit. And then seeing Casey Schmidt continue to, you know, come up with big hits for this team this year. I think Casey's been a pleasant surprise for this roster this year. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I've been very, you know, pleasantly surprised when it comes to just the at-bats overall and the power a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Now, I think a lot of people forget he had a massive grand slam in Dodger Stadium that got their only win of that weekend, right? On the Logan Webb start, because obviously Ruth the next day couldn't get through two innings. And then the trade itself happened with Kyle Harris and Rafi Devers. The rest is history. But no, Casey Schmidt, hey, when he gets a hold of them, they're not just some like skimming over the wall home runs. There's bombs that he's hitting, man.
When he's pulling the ball down the line, it does feel like he has tremendous power.
Yes.
You're seeing Adames just play really good ball right now. I feel like he's playing excellent. And I do think there are some really positive stories, some momentum moving forward. You know, I feel like Jung-Hoo Lee, the at-bats look better. The results aren't great from yesterday, but it does feel like the at-bats are better. I thought he had a really nice at-bat where he drew a walk late in the game. And I think the big thing from yesterday is, hey, Rafi Devers playing first base.
Yep.
And I was saying it to you guys. I put it out there on social media. I don't think people understand how difficult it is to just be a designated hitter. When you are playing baseball, you hear it a lot, like, don't take your at-bat into the field. Don't take your, you know, whatever happened in the field into your at-bat. Yeah, I actually think they're very connected. You know, when a guy makes a sweet play out in the field, it galvanizes you. It feels like you're contributing. And then you come into the dugout and you've got a bounce to you. And how many times when you used to watch SportsCenter back in the day did a guy make a nice play out in the field defensively and come in and rip a single, rip a double, rip a home run? Happens almost all the time.
Complimentary. Yeah,
absolutely. And so I think the reverse can happen when you're just a designated hitter. I think it can get very lonely. You know, if you're batting 3 out of 10, if you're a 3 out of 10 hitter, meaning you get on base, you hit 3 out of 10, you're batting 300, you are a Hall of Fame level player. Willie Mays was a 299, 301 hitter. Buster Posey, you know, 300 hitter. Will Clark, 300 hitter for their career. You bat 200? Well, now you're in the Pat Bailey zone.
Exactly.
Where we're like, are you a big leaguer? Yeah. Right? That's how thin the margins are. So when you're just obsessing about your at-bats, it's very difficult to feel like you're contributing in other ways to the team because we're only measuring you off what you're doing at the plate. And then you're living with having to sit there. Let's say it's 30 minutes of real time, 45 minutes of real time in between at-bats. It can become a mental grind. When you go out into the field, every pitch, I'm thinking, all right, it's 3-2. He's going to try to pitch him away. The ball might come my way. If it's hit into the gap, I'm the cutoff in this one. It kind of takes your mind off of just your at-bats because you're living pitch by pitch defensively and worrying about where you are situationally on any given play. I just think Devers playing first base defensively is going to unlock the freedom at the plate. And I feel like you saw glimpses of it yesterday.
And there's also an aspect of, hey, listen, I know I'm the highest paid player on the team right now. I want to ingratiate myself to this fan base, to this team, to all my teammates very quickly. And for me not to be able to contribute on the field, it's got to be taxing. Because if I'm not going to be doing it at the plate, I would still like to be helping out somewhat. It's like in any other job, right? Like I feel like if it's like you move up to the corporate ladder, right? And you feel like you can't get your, like, you know, roll your sleeves up and help the stock workers, help the other employees, right? People that get in early. It's like, I feel like I'm not doing my part. I'm not helping out when I could. And I feel like that's a little bit with what Devers have been going through. albeit at the plate, it's been a lot better post All-Star break. Man, he's got a couple of hits yesterday, 227 average now.
Because he was like the fastest. Yeah, I felt like I've seen him run.
I mean, right?
He looked really good.
He did. He looked energized yesterday. Now, I'm still very concerned about the medical going forward. They're clearly not. They're going to put him at first base. So we have to get over it. If they're just going to keep playing him, they're going to keep playing him. But that being said, yesterday, given the circumstances, Joe, top to bottom with this team, they could not have had a better performance from everyone. I thought Sean Jelly was gutsy.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to get in the way there a little bit, because that's still a hell of a roster you're going up against in the Braves. I mean, you mentioned it. Profar, Olson, Acuna, Baldwin, who's been balling. Albies, Sean Murphy, all these guys, the names go on and on and on. So for them to ball out, Lucchese is looking nice.
He's been
solid. I'm liking
solid.
Me some Joey Lucchese, by the way.
We rip a lot of the moves that haven't worked out, but nobody wants to give credit where credit is due on a good move. You know, whatever they've done with Lucchese, whether it's the coaching staff, whether it's Buster Posey, I think they nailed it.
Yeah.
He's been a big contributor to this team. I always talk about I call it the Yasmiro Petit role, meaning it changes based off what my team needs on a given day. You might come in high leverage situations in the middle of like fifth, sixth, seventh inning of a game. You might be a mop-up duty. You might be, hey, we're blowing a team out. We just need you to kind of eat some innings here, take pressure off for other guys. He has been a very valuable piece for this team.
I like that. Sean Manaea was like that for the Giants for a minute, where they didn't really know what his role was. I remember Jesse Chavez, who was once a Brave.
I actually always liked Jesse Chavez.
Yeah, me too, but he was like that for the A's once upon a time. Yeah. He did that same thing. I could be a spot start if you need me to. I can do a long game.
Those guys are valuable.
They're very valuable, and I just don't think they're appreciated enough.
I would agree.
When they're out there. So shout out Joey Lucchese right now. And again, as you mentioned, one of those few left-handers, if not the only one that you can really trust.
Yeah, and he has a really nice curveball going on right now. The other thing with Rafi Devers playing first base, I just felt like he was smiling more yesterday defensively than I've seen him smile at any point. Like, think about it. When he makes an out and you have to sit in the dugout, you're thinking about, oh my God, what did I do wrong? And then you're looking at the iPad. You're like obsessing about the at-bat you just had and about the at-bat that's about to come and the situation. I'm watching a guy that just felt like the pressure of hitting was removed because he was able to just have that fun, that joy, that relaxation of playing defense. Well, conversely, Wilmer Flores, I think, is in the other camp. I think Wilmer Flores is a guy that I don't think likes and enjoys playing first base. I just get the sense from him, it's a stress on his body. And not so much the mental grind, but the stress on the body. And I think he will benefit from just being a DH.
888-957-9570. The Giants bounce back. How'd you feel about Rafi Devers playing first base? And is something that you can lean on going forward? There's going to be some hiccups. Let's keep it a buck. Like, this is not going to be some perfect thing right away. This is his first time doing this. He's not at third base. He's at first base right now. The body is still clearly hampered a little bit, albeit a little more energized yesterday. But I'd rather go through these growing pains if it's going to help his mentals and help the on the field production overall, because he talked about it yesterday, Joe, and usually I don't play sound in the first segment, but I'm going to play it because you've referenced it a bunch. Like, you're seeing it. We're seeing it. He's speaking about playing in the field helps his batting. Rafi Devers.
Definitely. It keeps me active. It keeps my head out of just thinking about the next at bat. I'm the kind of player that likes to be active, likes to be on the field. I'd rather be on the field than be in the cage hitting all the time and just thinking about the next at bat.
And obviously that's through his interpreter, Erwin Higueros.
Very few guys can just hit and be competent and comfortable with contributing in only one way. Like, I think of the greatest designated hitters of all time. It's not the longest list that you think.
No, it's not. We actually were trying to do it before the show started. It was obviously Big Poppy, Edgar Martinez.
The DH came around in the early 70s.
Correct.
So it's 50 years.
Charlie Finley.
Okay. Yep. You said Big Poppy.
Big Poppy.
Edgar Martinez.
I'd say as more recently, J.D. Martinez.
Okay, but he also played right field for a long time.
He did, but I'm saying I think the last decade or so, he's been a that guy. Who else is in there?
I'm not sure, and I agree with you, but I'm not sure how many casuals are going to, like, rip off J.D. Martinez.
No, for sure.
Frank, I mean, he played a lot of time in the National League too.
Frank Thomas,
yeah, but Frank
bit?
Thomas was a great first baseman for a decade.
This is what I'm getting at. Like, it's usually that's half and
point.
Half. Yes,
that's my point. And typically, it's a guy who's conceded his body won't allow him to play out in the field.
Jim Thome, right?
Yes. Yes. Like look where Wilmer's at right now. Yeah. I think that is about the time when Frank Thomas was like, yeah, I'll just be a DH.
Exactly.
You know, and so a lot of guys have expressed this. It's just difficult. I just don't think we understand the mental, you know, difficulties of just contributing through hitting. It's way harder than we think, man. It just is. And I could feel and see it through the television. The burden was lifted, and I saw a guy enjoying himself. We all know there are some guys, they have to play with joy. That is how they have to play. Now, that being said, there is a reality. At some point, there's going to be a couple of plays in a game that matters where he's going to have to make plays over there. You saw a play where Adames threw the ball over to him. He caught it. There's only a couple of force outs at first yesterday. He caught it, and he jumped off the bag because he didn't want to get his foot stepped on. And there's a whole learning curve of playing first base. I don't know if people were paying attention last night. Anthony Volpe plays for the Yankees. Yep. He's been struggling offensively and defensively. He's a Gold Glover last year. Young player, first-round draft pick. He threw a ball in the dirt. I thought the first baseman should have picked it last night. He did not. Ball goes by him in front, drops down, runner safe. Big inning happens. There's an explosion. You go into the dugout. The pitcher is slamming his glove. People don't know whether he's mad at Volpe, mad at the first baseman, mad at himself for his performance.
Right.
But those are the things that can happen when a team is teetering, you know, in a playoff, you know, race and whatnot. There's going to be a time and point where this guy's going to have to make plays defensively at first base. And he's going to have to live with it. The team's going to have to live with it. And it's going to be something that we're going to have to monitor.
Absolutely.